Have you watched those?
No.
So you have no idea what's on them.
Holy!
Hell House. It was when you started sleeping there that things started to change.
We were happy they chose our town.
Grenada.
Welcome all. We're doing another fun revisit. You might have heard us talk about that popular movie and TV show franchise. If you hadn't, maybe go back into the audio files. Tell us what you think. Did we nail it the first time? Of course we didn't. That's why we're revisiting it. Lo and behold, we got the one, the only podcast in the woods co-host, Gabby.
Hello, friend.
Friends. Fish are friends, not food. So been looking forward to this. I was picking everyone's brain last fall. I was like, what collab can I do? What movie and TV or music group do you want to talk about? I schedule it off the guests' interest because I'm tired of doing the whole like scheduling it. And because each time I do it, I almost end up redoing 90% of it.
yeah. It's tough.
I get called into work. It's not fun. Just schedule it when you can schedule it. All the different movies and shows we were thinking of illustrating awesome moments of, I figured Hell House LLC, the found footage independent movie trilogy would be a fun one. It's kind of one of those obscure, people have seen it, but not everyone has sat down and wanted to mention it unless they're particularly specialized in like streaming movies or just cult movies galore. And this was one of the, I can't remember if I shared a list or if it was one of the many you shared, but either way I was like, oh, okay, perfect, you're the MVP to talk about this one.
You had asked,
I had a few others who wanted to talk
what
about
our favorites were, and then Boomer, my host, he named his five. Ooh. And I named my five, and Hell House is actually, for those that don't know, Podcast in the Woods is a horror podcast. We strictly discuss horror movies.
You did a lot of good ones. Like you don't necessarily pick a theme, but like it's been on and off, and you mainly go for a lot of the ones that have social commentary or demon possession or just even backwoods terror in general, and it's illuminating.
Yeah. I tend to sway a little bit more toward the psychological, the hauntings, the religion, you know, horror.
Ones that just make you give that eerie feeling where you're like, ugh.
Yeah, I like to be scared by the things that I don't know about. I like to be scared by especially things that I can't see. That's why found footage is my favorite subgenre, because you're looking at it from somebody else's perspective. There's not a sweeping shot. So you get to look as though you're the one looking, and you don't see everything on the side. And that's what terrifies me. But Hell House LLC, for all of the horror movies that I've seen in my life, this is my all-time favorite horror movie. So,
oh, awesome.
Yeah.
I would definitely,
my favorite.
I do a list of like favorite, like made for TV, made for the internet, made for video movies. And I definitely put the sequels on there. And this one was definitely like top ranked in like 2015 movies. I was like, hey, indie or not, like this, I would see this in a cinema. I would see this at an anniversary screening. No problem.
I would kill to see this on the big screen. This should have been widely released, and it makes me so sad that it never was.
We should totally host a panel reunion with the entire cast and crew. Because
I would love that, and I actually know, quote unquote, the filmmakers. I've met them, and I've interviewed them, and I've talked to them, and yeah, that's a great story.
That's badass. So you have reviewed the first one originally on your show, and you did a good job kind of pointing out just how this makes a good use of just music, like to set the mood. You know, like you see recent movies like Hereditary play into that, and I call it the Psycho Rosemary's Baby effect. You know, before you show me anything, get me feeling uneasy.
Yeah, that piano riff is something that I think will never not give me chills to hear it. Especially if
really well thought out.
Do you know the writer director Stephen Cognetti? His wife wrote that.
Wow.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? Yeah, she came up with that.
That's collaboration.
Yeah. I thought that was one of the coolest bits of trivia that I learned from them. Was like, I thought that it was something that was like, you know, because it's about like a cult guy and a haunting and things like that. I thought that it was like some old chamber music. It reminded me of like old chamber music on an organ. Yeah. And it turned out he was like, nah, my wife made that up.
I was almost just waiting for just kind of like the cylinder rolling effect that you might hear in like an Omen or Hellraiser type movie, like For Whom the Bell Tolls. But I didn't even go there. But, the very first movie I was late to the party, good news for anyone, if you don't have an Amazon or Shudder account, like almost all of them are on Tubi, and I think the first one you can get on DVD and Blu-ray, but it's pretty easy to find. And to the music, I mean, it helps that we even just start off with, like, they hired just very reasonable actors who had kind of an organic feel to them. So you felt at first, I'm watching a documentary, even though it's a work of fiction. So it has something for everybody. It has something for the, the typical organic horror crowd, as well as the paranormal crowd, as well as just any other crowd that's just
found footage, mockumentary, supernatural
documentary,
like haunted house, cult. It's got so much of everything. It's so good. Clowns.
Yeah. And then there was a clown. There was definitely a clown. So sorry guys, if you don't like clowns, that they're going to pop up eventually. Where was it filmed?
It was filmed in Lehighton, Pennsylvania, which is about an hour and 45 minutes away from my home. And I have been there twice.
Mm-hmm.
For my birthday a few years ago, I contacted the owner of the property and asked if I could come and take pictures. And she said yes. And then I went back later when Stephen Cognetti, the writer-director, and Joe Bandelli, the producer, were there visiting.
Man, look at you go.
And I stalked them. This was in October, like when because this was filmed in an actual Halloween haunt, like haunted attraction. So this was during season, like that it was open and people could do the tours and things. And so I went there once by myself in the middle of summer just to take pictures and see it in person. And then I went again so that I could stalk them and beg them to be on my podcast.
Man.
I have a signed director's cut DVD from that. Yeah.
Well, I did hear there was a director's cut. Is it on Blu-ray or DVD or exclusive?
I have it on regular DVD. Yeah.
Without spoiling anything, is it just adds some like extra, like?
It adds. Yeah, it does add. Yeah, it gives a little bit more of a backstory, and it just adds a little bit. I love this movie so much, though. Maybe to a casual fan of this movie, it's not necessary. But to me, I could watch an 8-hour director's cut. Like, yeah. So for me, it adds more. I think that if you like this movie, and I can't imagine anybody not liking it, it adds.
You'd be surprised. You want to watch the director's cut. I saw that the third one was ranked like 14%. I was like, seriously?
That's so incorrect.
If I'm going to rig something 14%, it better be just like, I don't buy into the premise. The leads have no charisma. The CGI is distractingly bad. Something that's a deal breaker. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
The people aren't in on the tasteless joke. I, you know, something that's just, you know.
Yeah. It makes me sad that it has such a low rating. The second one is actually my least favorite.
Yeah.
Strictly because of the acting. I liked the story. The acting by the two main female characters annoyed the ever-living shit out of me.
I didn't think about that, but yeah, they are kind of...
Yeah. But the third, I thought was great. Good acting.
Especially the plot twist, which I'm not sure if you want to get.
Yeah, well... Maybe spoilers. Maybe. The plot twist was fantastic, and it was such a great wrap-up to the trilogy. Which it did leave me wanting more, just because they were all so good and so entertaining and so scary.
Yeah.
But had Stephen Cognetti just completely refused and been like, no, I made a trilogy. It's over. We're done. Be done. I would have been satisfied. I'm so excited for the Carmichael Hotel. But yeah, I would have been fine with the three. I thought all three of them were great.
Totally. I mean, I guess just in all three of them, like every time they do. Opening shots, like those were probably the highlights. This is like, see, these cinematographers and film crew, they made use of their micro budget. They didn't wait for, you know, obviously they already have permission to film here, but they didn't wait for, hey, we better do this or that. It's like, no, they're ready.
yeah. And I love in the first one when they're in the van and they're driving to Abaddon, that was filmed on that road. So when you get off the Pennsylvania Turnpike and you take that exit and you go up and around, you drive, that is exactly that road with the fields and the mm-hmm. trees and everything. It's so real. And I love that.
No closed off film sets here. Mm-hmm. My sister's the worst that she can always tell if it's a closed film set when people are outside and their hair's not blowing away in the wind.
Mm-hmm. It's that annoys me. Things.
It's like, oh, so there you go. I get annoyed by like just little small things, like a crane shot catches too much of the boom mic, or unconvincing stand-in or stunt double, and the camera could have just pulled away like three frames earlier.
Yeah.
Fortunately, these people don't have any of those distractions. I like how anytime they're wandering in the room, they're not even just asking the generic, is anyone home? They pretty much just go straight into, oh my God, no. You know, just there's always like frantic just reaction versus and just playing to pretending to be dumb on convincing that, they don't want to waste their time. So they do a fun job.
Yeah. I think that's one of my favorite things. I don't know if you want to call it like a top moment from, I mean, I did my list based on the first one.
Yeah.
I can discuss the second and third one all day long. And I have moments from them that I can talk about, but I made my list just based on the original. But in all three of them, I think that one of the best things about it and what has made this such a great cult film is that these movies don't fuck around. Mm-hmm. They start and they start in the story with the plot. There is no intro. We'll get to the intro. Let's talk about what this movie's about and let's show you what this is about. And I think that's such a roll of the dice that a lot of movies have done that. And it's like, well, I can't care about the characters because this is what you're doing. I don't like this.
Right. Then, you're going too fast. What's going on? I don't have time to even attach myself to what they're doing here.
Yeah, exactly. But these movies, they do it so well that
even the intro where they just flat out say, hey, this is a bad idea, but we're going to do it anyway. So we instantly know this could go any way, shape or form. We know that, you know, we know why they're here. You know, they got time to kill. They want to check out the folklore legends and
and that's so they brought a
documentary crew. So I instantly can just assume you're looking forward to it. The shit hitting the fan, as opposed to it being like a mad scientist movie where it's like, wait a second, this is a billion. you know, Jaws alien knockoff.
Yeah, and the fact that it's like half mockumentary, half found footage, I love that, because that the story is told in a found footage way. It starts out talking about the tragedy. It's all about the tragedy that happened.
Oh my God.
We don't know what the tragedy is. And it's a found footage film. It could go so far as like aliens showed up or something stupid. That's so like true. That. Or like it a serial you, killer was hiding in a closet, you know.
It so gets you ready for the plot twist. Like,
yeah. What's the tragedy? I need the tragedy. Yeah.
Good stuff. Yeah, that's a good point. I think it's in either movie one or movie two where they start off with one of them playing a prank on each other. I think.
Well, one starts out, you mean the Hell House footage? One starts out with them in the car and nobody knows anything about that. Two.
I just recall one of them just doing a boo moment to the other. They're like, asshole.
Yeah, that wasn't one. Which one was that? I think that was two. Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. God, these movies are so good. And Hell House LLC. Yeah. Of all of the horror movies I've seen.
I do the same thing.
Never been as scared in my life as the first time I saw this movie.
Oh, and sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've never found a horror movie that was more rewatchable than this one.
Right? Because there's so many that are just people have spoiled the plot twist to death.
Yeah. And I think that this one, you can spoil it. Try not to go into it spoiled, people who are listening. But if you go into it spoiled, it doesn't actually take away from the experience.
Yeah. Because in fact, it ignites interest.
It piques your interest and it kind of already puts you on edge. So you're already kind of squared up, like you're already ready to be freaked out. But anybody can explain anything to you and it still isn't the same as experiencing it. So when you actually experience it yourself, you're like, holy shit. Like,
shit, fuck, it's God,
just, yeah. Yeah. I'm already scared and that just happened. Oh my God. Like, it's just, it's so good.
Yeah. But with these, you can pretty much spot who's the Leroy Jenkins of the team.
Yeah.
A mile away. This person, they're going to fuck it up for everybody.
Yeah. Very obvious in the first one, Paul.
God damn it, Paul.
Which I think Paul is such a great red herring because, it's obvious that Paul's the fuck up in the first one. But it actually turns out to be Alex. Spoiler.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah. Mm. I didn't like him. I didn't like him from the beginning.
Nah. He's trash.
He's a dick. Yeah.
Well, so that is awesome. I had no idea they were doing a part four origin story. That will be cool to check out.
They are currently filming Hell House Origins, the Carmichael Manor, I think it's called. And
I see that Sierra Saka is set to star in it, and she's also starring in a Charles Bronson inspired werewolf movie, if you can believe it.
Look, oh wow.
There's this guy called Richard Bronze who looks like Charles Bronson. He's kind of making a living by doing the kind of movies he would have done back in the 70s and 80s. So imagine that's if Charles hilarious. Bronson fought a werewolf.
I kind of want to see it.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, they're doing Carmichael Manor. Everybody wanted to push, they were originally going to do something called the Abaddon tapes, and it was going to be the home videos of his name just completely flew out of my head.
That guy.
The original hotel owner. Ooh. His home videos, it was going to be an exploration of that, but they scrapped it and now they're doing Carmichael Manor, and I just can't wait. I really hope that it's out by Halloween. Sweet. Because I really want to go to Hell House in real life. The attraction is called Waldorf Estate of Fear. I really want to go to Waldorf when it comes out. That would be awesome.
Well, Movies in Mania apparently got an early screening and they got a 3.8 out of 5 for it.
What?
Yes.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. Stephen Cognetti is a genius. Like when I spoke with him, you can tell this man knows his horror.
That's lovely. Okay, yeah. So set to be streaming on Shudder in October 2023.
Yay!
All right, so there you go.
I'm so excited.
Yep. Yep, yeah. Yep.
Everybody get Shudder. It just went up a dollar, but you can still afford it. It's only $6.99. And if you're going to watch, or if you're going to listen to Podcast in the Woods, you need Shudder because half of our movies come off of Shudder.
Sweet, sweet.
So tell me, what were your, I have my favorite moments. What are yours? Like, what are, like, I'm so curious.
The jump scare and everything. I really dug the ending to Part 3 just because just those characters just have the most, oh, fuck, look on their face.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. No, that was really good. Yeah.
It was like, after all this or that, it didn't feel like a cheat. It didn't feel like the billionth, just, you know, Sixth Sense knockoff. Or
not a bit, yeah.
Yeah, not even. Yeah. So often, like, it, you can tell, like to your point on Cognetti, it did feel like he was just waiting for it instead of the movie was so reliant on it and everyone else was a plot device to lead up to that plot twist. Like he, and it was just very invigoratingly just awesome. Like you're just like, man, this guy knows how to just pistol whip me with a movie equivalent.
He knows his shit. Yeah. Yeah. He knows what to do. I mean, he is an absolute genius. He can take a really weathered, really jaded horror fan like myself, who I can't stand. I don't know how you feel about this. I cannot fucking stand people that love horror, but go, nothing scares me. I'm not afraid of anything. Nothing yeah, can scare me. Then why are fast. You watching horror?
It's kind of
are
like
you watching it to feel
guys.
Good about yourself? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like oh, but that's like, oh, fake and dumb.
That. Yeah, so fake. I could do that. Yeah, no, shut up. But like, that's how I feel. And
I feel like half our moviegoers are sociopaths half the time. Like they get off and just being internet trolls.
Yeah. Yeah. But like, I feel like I was getting to that point. I was starting to feel a little bit jaded that it was like, there really was nothing that was scaring me anymore. I had to keep going back to my old faithfuls, my Exorcists and my Omens and, you know, my Rosemary's Baby. Like I had to keep going back to the stuff that scared me when I was a kid because it still scared me. There was nothing new that was coming out that was remotely creepy.
I hear you.
And then this one just came out of left field. And it was like, not only has it reinvigorated my love of horror, but I'm reminded that I can be scared and I can be terrified. This movie, absolutely. I was shaking when I watched Hell House. Well, all three of them scared the hell out of me, but the first time I saw Hell House was life-changing.
Totally. I mean, more or less, like, even if it doesn't scare you, it better make you feel like you're in the room. Like, so like all the other genres we talked about, sometimes they might have a stunt that doesn't look convincing or a joke that didn't land, but if the idea and commentary still sticks with you, you can at least call it a halfway decent movie. And same kind of deal here, where it's just like,
yeah,
they're worried about both the content and the substance, mm-hmm. and getting it to the end of the tunnel instead of rushing the process and making you feel like, I need a little more buildup.
Nope. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
First 10 minutes, that was all the buildup I needed.
Yeah, exactly. I do think that we should give an honorable mention to the mustache. Anybody who has not seen Hell House, you have never seen the greatest mustache in cinematic history.
It does stand out. That is true.
It's so cool.
He's good at making... And that character alone just also makes me kind of just wonder, like, if he's going to, like, betray the team in some way or if he's hiding something. It's good at making you kind of just be a little extra insecure.
Yeah.
And
yeah, he's good. And it's funny because the people that are in the house, when we start watching the Hell House tapes,
oh yeah,
so this is not
tour.
A spoiler
yeah.
per se. But in the first one, they're interviewing people for a documentary before they actually show
Yes.
What happened at Hell House. Yeah. So you're already in it. And I think it's so hard because when you watch a movie with like fake reporters, fake witnesses, fake,
it takes you out.
It takes you out of it so hard because it's so not genuine and it's so acting and it's so canned and it's just panny and awful. But these characters make you kind of question, like, is this based on something?
Yeah.
Are they reading actual articles? Did they watch actual news footage? I mean, like, it's not a buildup. It's like, bam. And then they start showing the tapes and then bam again. Like, it's the interviewees are so well acted.
Right.
And for an indie movie, the acting is just insane.
In fact, I would probably say that was the main highlight of part two. Probably the main thing the rest just kind of feels like deleted scenes, extended like leftover stuff from part one. But the opening newsreel actually looked convincing. Like, it didn't look like, hey, I'm going to do the billionth, CNN lookalike, scrolling.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't tell if it's stock footage or if they actually shot this scene with some real life cops or paramedics.
Yeah.
Putting out a fire.
The beginning of two did look completely real.
It almost looks like a Bates Motel really type place too. So you just get this labor of love from the guys.
We'll return after these messages.
The Jacked Up Review Show podcast is honored to be part of the Blind Knowledge Podcast Network. Join anytime, talk the talk, and enjoy yourselves. There's something enlightening for everyone with this crowd of cool cats. Check them out.
Hey, it's Brent Pope, the host of Breakfast with Brent Pope. You've seen me on some of your favorite TV shows saying things like, "Give it up, Jimmy. You got to sink this putt to win." On Breakfast with Brent Pope, I sit down with guests from the entertainment world and we do it all over breakfast. Or should I say Breakfast? Every week on Breakfast, you get inside Hollywood info and tips, great breakfast recs and booty debates. Most of all, you get the most delightful 30 minutes of your week. So dig in. It's Breakfast time. Listen at Breakfast.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found.
Do you ever find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsey, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win show wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.
I actually had the fortune, the insanely amazing, crazy fortune of, I got a guided tour of the Abaddon Hotel. Obviously, it's not called that in real life, but I went to the haunt in October. So there were crowds and there were people there. And my friend and I met these two men who knew the owner, and they have their own thing. They're called Haunt Hunters, something. They're on Instagram. But we were talking to them and I was saying that I was a really big fan of the movies and whatever. And they were like, "Well, do you want to walk through? We'll walk through with you." And they actually walked us through that. They were like, "Turn the lights on. Like, don't jump out. We're looking at the scenery." Like, they, so I walked through every room from the movie, which was so neat. And it is absolutely mind-boggling because it's already really good that you can tell that this is not a set. This is an actual place. But when you go and see the actual place in person, you're like, whoever saw this place and was like, "I can make a scary movie out of this," they were right.
Right?
Even with the lights up and the actors like waving and smiling and saying hello and answering my questions, it was still like, "I'm afraid of you and I'm going to need you to back up two paces because I don't know what's going to happen to me."
Back it up.
I was asked several times. I was asked by the guys that took us through. I was asked by the owner of the property, and I was asked by Stephen and Joe Do you want to go down in the basement? Do you want to see the basement? No. Hell no. I've
seen enough.
No, I am the same as the reporter in Hell House 1. That no, I've seen a lot of scary shit and I know better. I'm not going down in that basement. No way.
I've seen all I'll ever need to see, all I'll live to see.
Yeah. I made Joe Bandelli laugh so hard because he was like, come on, we can go down. I'll take you down to the basement. And I was like, no, people died down there. And he was like, and he laughed hysterically. And he was like, it's just a movie. And I was like, not to me. Nope. I wasn't there when you were filming. Well, and I don't know that for sure.
I'll go down there, but I'm going to bring some security buddies with guns, probably.
Holy water and a rosary.
Oh, there you go.
A big bright spotlight. Yes, there's no dark corners.
And, I'll bring the garlic. Yeah. I doubt there's vampires, but exactly. Who knows? There might be a guy who's a cannibal who sucks people's blood and thinks he's a vampire.
Oh, I listen to a lot of true crime. There are weird people out there like that.
That there are some great ones there too. We're actually thinking of. I think it was Backwoods is one of them. And we were just thinking of having them on as part of a Texas podcast session. It's interesting how it just goes in waves though, too, where you never know, again, where, even if you've heard about the story, you still don't know where it's going.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's always an extra bit of info that's been found out about it or another take on it. Actually, A Nefarious Nightmare. My bad. That's the one. Recommend. These movies would be awesome. I mean, I know they do it with Trailer Park Boys where they had the actors in character as their characters. Doing like if they were running a podcast, and it's really batshit hysterical. I would love it if they did a podcast tie-in to
how cool would that be?
And just had them reprising it. It'd be meta. It'd be like a double win because then people who are just coming in casually and want a old school kind of audio drama like the old radio days would have some fun.
I still have Joe Bandelli's email address. I think that
you're gonna pitch and say you need an associate producer.
But I think that I'm gonna pitch this. Yes, I'll email you if he gets back to me. But that is a really good idea. Yeah. It would make a really good like a true crime, a mockumentary style true crime podcast kind of thing to go through all of the history and everything. That would be really neat to do a companion piece because this movie. It's the only reason that we are talking about this movie is because somebody told us who had heard from somebody else or who had seen it. In my case, it was just, it kept coming up on my Prime feed, like my Prime recommendations. And I was like, what the fuck? I don't want to see this one, you know? And I kept swiping past it. I ran out of shit to watch. And I was like, well, I guess I'll watch this. It's found footage. It's a haunted house. I'll watch it.
What's the worst that could happen?
Exactly. What, I'm going to waste an hour and a half?
It's on streaming.
I've never done that before.
So it's not like the video store days where you're like, screw it. I'm not even returning this. I'm burning this. So no one ever
has that. Yeah. I'm not wasting $3.99 on a Saturday night at Blockbuster. Like it's included in my Prime membership. And I already ordered $200 worth of shit to be delivered tomorrow for free. So yeah, but add it to it. Who cares? And it scared me so much that I think that this is, of all of the horror movies that I've ever seen in my life, and I've seen so many that you could name one, and I would have no idea what you're talking about until you start explaining the plot. And then I'm like, halfway through, I'm like, oh yeah, I did see that. Because I've seen so much. I haven't seen everything. That's boomer.
It does kind of blur together. I know it's a bad movie. If it was so bad, I even forgot to rate it on IMDb. It broke me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I did see that. I don't fall asleep, but I wanted to.
Yeah.
At the very moment. There's only been one movie, much more short. It was just a overrated musical. And I literally, it broke me so bad, I forced myself to go to sleep. We were in a bedroom watching this watch family. Yeah, well. it's tough when someone else has has the option of the movie that year and doesn't watch all these fun cult movies we want to watch. So
I know so many people just from me talking about it have watched it. Really good podcast friends of ours, Dewey Pod Monster, not big fans of found footage. They watched it. They liked it.
Yeah.
I don't know if they both watched it. I know John watched it.
It really
John
flips the franchise on its head.
It really does.
Regardless of whether you like Blair Witch or Poughkeepsie Tapes or The Ring, you know, it doesn't rely on any other earlier movie. It's pretty much just made for the general guy who just wants a well thought out spooky mystery.
Yeah. I mean, the director, the writer director, he said, like, I wrote this movie for horror fans and for rewatchability.
Oh,
yeah.
Look at him go.
Yeah. And he nailed it.
Rewatchability is definitely a big factor. There will be so, because aside from, like, let's say there's a plot twist and someone ruins it, like, even then, you still don't want to just be just like, okay, and it was good, but I kind of forgot it, you know, halfway down the road. It's like, well, that's not good. So that means it was a Friday or Sunday night movie. People who are fans of Mike Flanagan might like this too.
I agree. And it's the same as the Flanagan piece in that when you rewatch it, there are so many details that the second time you watch it, you pick up on this. And then the third time you pick up on this and you can watch it six or seven. I mean, I watched it today before I started talking to you. I can't, maybe for the 70th time. I don't know. I've seen this movie so many times. I can recite half the dialogue.
Yeah. I know what watch party we're doing soon.
Yeah. And there was something that I, when I was watching it, that I was, because I don't want to spoil, that I was like, oh my God. Wow. You know, like, so good. It's so good. And I've been really good about doing long pauses between rewatches of 2 and 3 because I want to keep picking up, you know. Like the added
the Easter eggs
and the behinds and
Does it come with a commentary?
The director's cut of 1 does. I don't know. I know that 3 is not on Blu-ray or DVD because I belong to a lot of fan groups on social media for the movies. Mm-hmm. I know that 3 does not have a DVD or a Blu-ray. I don't know if 2 does. But I know that there is the original
director's cut you can buy on Prime.
Yeah. And there, it used to be streaming, I want to say, on Screenbox. Screenbox had the director's cut. Let me check that for anybody who has Screenbox.
Yeah, I tried to install Screenbox. It seems to only be on certain services, I guess. I couldn't get it to be on Apple TV.
I have a Roku TV, so okay, so anybody who can get Screenbox has all 3 films and the original plus the director's cut of the original.
Wait.
So, yeah, if you're subscribed to Screenbox, you can have all 4. And Screenbox is great. I don't know what it is monthly. Last November, I paid $22 for an entire year.
Damn.
Yeah, and this was very much the beginning. Some other friends of ours are like cool with Screenbox. So they were like putting stuff up on their Twitter and Instagram that like, oh, I saw this on Screenbox. Ooh, watch this on Screenbox. And it was like, I like scary movies. I'll get it. Sure. Yeah. Screenbox is totally worth it. I am not sponsored by Screenbox or Shudder. I promise. But if you guys are listening and you want to, hi, I'm Gabby. Welcome to Podcast in the Woods.
I feel like we kind of just navigated just casually through here. Would you care to plug your show? Some you time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So I am the co-host to my amazing fearless leader, Podcast Boomer. In the Woods. Podcast in the Woods. Hi, Booms. Love you, friend. Hi. Miss you.
Miss you.
Sorry you had to work tonight. You can find us on any podcasting platform. We are on all of the, let me correct that. He is on all of the socials. I suck at socials. Twitter, Instagram, Woods Podcast 1, Slasher. I don't know if you've heard of the Slasher app. Go to slasher.tv, download the Slasher app. It is Facebook for horror fans. It is all about horror. It's amazing.
I have seen this one. Oh,
yeah. You can make so many friends. There are so many cool movies that you've never heard of that you might never have heard of if you didn't have Slasher. I'm in charge of Slasher. If you download the Slasher app and you send us a message, it's me that's responding to you. So if you have any questions or if you listen to the show and you hate everything that I say, you can yell at me on that. I'm also in charge of our Facebook page.
I'm gonna praise the hell out of you. I'm not better things to do than roast somebody.
You have better things to do than roast, but I think we get our spankings from trolls. I don't know how to make a URL on Facebook, so just go on Facebook and search Podcast in the Woods. Look for our logo. We're there. You can email us directly at podcastinthewoods1@gmail.com. We have a Patreon. You can join a tier. And yeah, if you don't want to have all of the new releases spoiled for you, we're the ones you want to come to. We do a lot with classics.
Oh my God, I got to recap this.
Yeah. There have been a few, and I'm not saying we never will like talk about a new release, but if it's something that's like amazing, like The Strangeness. Do you have Shudder?
I don't, but I do have cable, and I get a lot of the Shudder stuff there on the on demand.
Yeah. There was a Korean film last year called The Strangeness. I think it's called The Strangeness.
I thought it was called The Sadness. Okay.
The Sadness. You're right. Sadness.
Yes. The Sadness.
That zombie film, the most disgusting movie I've ever seen in my entire life. we did that. We did like an episode on Men, Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. Like we've done a few like bonus episodes on new releases that we really love, because when we're not talking about old horror, every time a new horror film comes out, we are there. And if it's something that really tickles both of us, then we'll talk about it. Spoiler free, I promise everyone, if it's a new release. But yeah, we'll find old things. Boomer's favorite is Asian horror. So if you're a casual horror fan, a lot of the movies we talk about, you've never heard of, but I'm telling you, you want to watch them. We do old gems. We do old terrible movies. And those are kind of our favorites. Boomer calls us a shit show, but that's just because he lets me drink.
I got a treat for you. I'll send you the Tubi link. Actually, I didn't realize it was on there now, but congrats to these guys. I got to meet them in this particular Facebook group, and it's actually my top favorite movie of 2021, and it's called H.P. Lovecraft's Witch House. The minute I show this to you, you're going to instantly get like Brian Yuzna, Stuart Gordon, like Charles Band kind of vibes. It's like, oh, this is a total movie I would have gotten off the video store shelf by like Vestron or something back in the day.
I loved Best Run movies.
Yep.
Are you sending it on Instagram?
Yes. So,
cool. Okay.
But yeah, Hell House LLC, it conquered so many different film festivals. And I actually got to see their award show on Facebook streaming. And it was just kind of cool to just see these guys who had a very laid back set. They didn't have anything unprofessional happening behind the scenes for a micro budget movie. And just to see that they just wanted to do pretty much just get all their best acting buddies. And it helped that one of them had like been a former Marine. So he kind of had kind of a unofficial way to kind of just keep everybody just in check, like they're at boot camp without being a dick.
Yeah.
And
this was
very nice people.
Yeah. And if you're an indie film fan, if you like to see the little guy do well,
yes.
Whether or not you're a horror fan, watch these, because you can see the independent filmmakers can still do good.
Right.
They can still do great things. And this is a prime example. All three of them. Just work with what you have. If you can do it, you'll do it, and you'll do it right. And this is the ultimate example of the American film dream. I mean, this is amazing. This movie's amazing. Yeah, we reviewed it on Podcast in the Woods.
You did good.
And I talked about my experience at Waldorf. I talked about my experience with Stephen and Joe. And yeah. So give us a listen if you want to.
Please.
We are a little unhinged sometimes. And I have a temper. I don't like movies that are bad. And I don't like fucking vomit. If you've ever listened to our show, I don't like vomit. So if you ever want to hear me ranting about vomit. Way.
give me any kind of humor. Just don't have it be devoid of the restroom. Don't do it.
I don't like toilet humor. I don't like vomit. I don't
not
like
5 years old anymore. Effects. Gross.
Yeah.
No, thanks.
Yeah. Vomit doesn't scare me. I am a mother. I'm not afraid of vomit.
Right. Just
I'm
do that every day.
I've had a living human person vomit straight into my mouth several times in my life. So
oh my Lord.
I'm not afraid of it. I just don't want to see it. I've seen it. I've tasted it and I felt it. So try something else. Right? Losers. Oh, and I get so pissed off about vomit. I'm sorry, listeners. I will keep going about this, but I'll stop.
Vomit is scum of the earth. Yep. Literally.
And fuck vomit. Yeah.
And if you
welcome
guys
to Podcast in the Woods. Fuck vomit. That's pretty much our logo, our slogan at this point.
And if you're going to do just, again, a crazy movie with some B-movie actors, give them something fun to do. Don't just like have Michael Berryman or Andrew Devoff or Lance Anderson or Tony Todd in the corner, you know, doing nothing.
Yeah.
We'll see it because they're in it, but come on.
we'll be annoyed. We'll be annoyed and say that
isn't
they deserve
it funny?
Better.
If it's any other actor, we're like, you sold out. But it's like them, like they're just trying to make a living. I'm mad at the filmmaker who.
Who subjected them to that?
Right.
The filmmaker. It's not their fault. Yeah. Yeah. It's not the actor's fault. Yeah. Don't hate the player. Hate the game.
They played the game.
Yeah. Oh my God. Thank you so much for having me. This was so fun.
Anytime. This was badass. And
yeah.
Hope your year.
Anytime you want one of us or both of us. And I hope to have you on our show soon.
Okay. Sure. Name the movie.
Yay!
I'll dive in and do the research.
Awesome. Okay. I'll
podcast
send you the calendar.
Already. It's the day. Podcast in the Woods can
be found.
Yeah,
I'll send you the calendar soon. Yeah.
Podcast in the Woods can be found on Apple, Spotify, and I have it personally on Podbean.
Yay, Podbean.
Woo. I'm sure there's plenty of other platforms, but for those, just check it out in there. Give them some likes.
Yeah, and good pods.
Yes.
I like good pods. Yes. Yeah, they're nice people. Yeah. Yay,
yes,
guys.
Are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, forgot you.
I have one, if I can do one last plug for a friend of mine.
Sure. Friend of a friend.
Okay. So there's an app, and it's called RunPee. I pee a lot, and I get the big bucket at the movie theater. And I'm at the movies at least once or twice a week. If you like to go to the movies and you never want to get up and you don't want to have a drink and you don't want to eat anything or drink anything because you don't want to have to go pee during the movie, download the Run Pee app because it gives you pee times. And I want to give a shout out to my friends at Run Pee.
That
because
is.
I feel like not enough
I'm
people know
up
about
now.
Run Pee.
You've
yeah.
been featured on NPR. No, okay. That broke the internet.
Yeah. Run P is awesome. And I adore them. And actually, they're going to be on our show soon.
Sweet. Hey.
Yeah.
Family
yeah.
Run business.
It's a, yeah. 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 So I told them, I emailed them once for something and like just started chatting. They're like the nicest people in the whole wide world. And so, yeah. Like
I would hope they are if they have a sense of humor, you know.
I mean, good stuff. I watch a lot of horror movies. It is his sister who is the horror fiend on Run P, who gives me the good Run P times, good P times for my horror movies. And I appreciate the hell out of her. I can't remember her name, but I adore her. But yeah, I just wanted to give a quick plug to my friends at Run P.
Sweet.
And hi, Booms. Miss you. Love you.
MIA. Hey, she's getting that green. It's all good.
Yes, as many as I can get it. But I'm done. I'm done now, I promise. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, thank you. That made my day. I didn't expect this to be a comedic session, but this is even more awesome.
Yeah, well, I'm goofy, but not on purpose.
Oh, no, that's fine. I never know where the conversation is going to take us. So that's why I like the suspense of it. And then when it hits me, I'm still never prepared for it, even though I've done this, again, about a dozen times last.
Well, I think that maybe you should make friends with Booms because I feel like he would say the same thing about every single conversation he's ever had with me. He never knows where it's going to go. So if you like unpredictability and a spicy redhead, Yeah. Head over to Podcast in the Woods.
We're all a little spicy sometimes. So
true. But I'm angry.
Spicy. Here's the spices of the redheads. Yes.
Oh my God, Cam, thank you so, so, so much. This was so fun.
Absolutely.
I can't do that, actually. I can't.
Everyone can. Trust me. Just here's the thing. Just
Wait.
For those who can't see, I'm doing Vulcan Live Long and Prosper with both hands. You're close. Okay. Yep. So just work on. So you already got the pose. So just focus on getting the pinky with the second to last hand.
If anybody wants to know what I'm doing those. For the rest of the night,
yeah.
I'm going to be sitting on my couch.
It's either that or do a karate chop or do some other crazy.
I'll send you a picture when I get it right.
Next week, oh, the Twilight Zone. Gabby does the geekiest thing ever done with Tibetka. And I don't know what voice I'm emulating, but it came out of there somewhere. So
it was good, whatever voice it was.
I might need an exorcism tonight. Nah. Welcome back anytime, Gabby, and we'll keep gabbing.
All right. Thank you so, so much. Bye, everybody.
Godspeed.
Follow us on the web on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The podcast is available on Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Anchor, Apple, and anywhere else podcasts are available. Feel free to review our show and leave comments on any of those sites. Thanks a million for listening. It's a Jacked Up.